You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wherever you're listening to this, it's quite unlikely that you arrived at that location by walking there. How do I know this? Because according to a 2018 census, 82.8% of trips made in Auckland were by car. And that's despite most New Zealanders understanding that walking has many benefits. It keeps us healthy, reduces stress, and produces zero carbon emissions. So why don't we walk more? Well, Dr. Yiting Chuang, a senior lecturer at the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of Auckland, conducted a study to look into why people in Auckland and Hamilton are so dependent on cars, despite many areas fitting the conditions of an ideal walking location. I spoke to Yiting Chuang to understand what her research found about our dependence on cars and what we could do to build a walking culture.
I think a lot of us understand the many benefits there are to walking. Can you explain why most of us still choose to drive anyway?
I think in our census in 2018, it's a high number of percentage trips in Auckland that was by car, and we have a very minimal trips that's actually taking by walk. And Auckland Transport also did a research survey on people why we love car, like Kiwi love cars so much. And the number one reason was that our city was designed for cars. And that actually sort of gets us into the mindset that we don't really have a choice, but we have to go everywhere by car, and it sort of becomes a common consensus. And that sort of started our research query to look into whether really our urban structure was a barrier for walking or not.
And do you think that this is a major issue that New Zealand should solve?
Definitely, because we know that how much benefit walking actually brings to our health and also the environment as well. Especially in New Zealand, we do have a lot of short trips that was taken up by car, and the carbon emission that emitted from the cars are actually making a huge detrimental effect in our environment. So if we can just sort of convert that, we'll make a lot of positive benefit to our environment.
Can you explain what the 15-minute city ideal is and how that factored into your research?
Definitely. So 15-minute city is a planning concept that was based on the sustainability ideal. Having evenly distributed our essential services, for example, our daily needs, supermarket, parks, school, workplaces, and clinics within a walking distance, 15 minutes of walking or cycling distance, which would then replace our short car trips that we would need to take. So it's actually a sustainable planning concept that has been taking up a lot of traction in Europe cities as well as in a lot of other cities as well. And there was a conspiracy earlier on about how during COVID, that 15-minute city is actually trying to restrict people's mobility to confine them within a distance. But I think that's a conspiracy.
How come in the case of Auckland and Hamilton, proximity and the 15-minute city rule doesn't necessarily translate into more walking?
Yeah, that was quite a surprise result that we found. We mapped all the essential services within 15-minute walking distance of a few neighborhoods in Auckland and Hamilton, and we actually found that a lot of areas actually meet that ideal. So you are able to walk to, but people don't really know. But I also feel like, of course, 15-minute is an arbitrary number, and it doesn't really always sort of meets everybody's need, and in Auckland particularly there is the terrain, the slopy terrain, so it feels longer to walk to places that probably is actually needed to. And also I think people don't have the information of how long it takes really to connect to the places that you have to go to.
Is that a recent trend, or has that problem existed for a long time in Auckland and Hamilton?
Oh, I think it's a long time sort of problem that existed. And also it's the mentality in sort of New Zealand, or car-dependent city, that we really don't think of another alternative to walk to. And it has been really, the city are built to prioritize car, I would have to say, even though it still meets the 15-minute city ideal. But it's still prioritized, and it's very convenient to drive everywhere. And parking was amply provided everywhere. And that's why, you know, it's the number one choice and the easiest choice, but not necessarily the best choice.
In your research, you mentioned three key attributes to walking behavior: street network continuity, access to destinations, and the walking experience itself. Which of these do you think we should focus on to improve walking in New Zealand?
And like I said in the research, our finding actually is very context specific. These three elements are interconnected and they are all really important, but their priority of importance is related to the context. For example, we found that walking trips happens more in underserved neighborhoods, and we are hypothesizing that because these trips are taken up because people have to walk. They might not have cars to go everywhere. So if those are functional basic needs, then we really need to prioritize connecting the places they need to go to safely and continuously, and because they are underserved, which means that these areas often have less appropriate sidewalks to connect to everywhere, and that would become the priority. But for other neighborhoods, for example, a more well sort of served communities, we've discovered that their walking trips are often happened in working hours, and we're hypothesizing they would be probably more discretionary walking, like leisure walking. And those walks, and especially in a better environment already, what they really need is the experiences to make the trip comfortable. So people would want to walk rather than they have to walk. So the priorities are quite different depending on the neighborhood, as well as the motivations or purposes of the walks. So it will have to be sort of context specific, and which is the beauty of the research, that we know that there's no one answer to solve all questions and problems.
What kinds of design changes can be made to areas that can increase walking without needing major overhauls?
Again, I think it's depending on where they are, but I think the priority should be putting in the underserved area, because that's where we found most walking trips are happening already. And like I said, it's a needed basis. So having them, the sidewalk, well lit, continuous, and also maybe sufficient, wide enough to help people get to the places that they need to get to. And I guess it's also, we need to bring that extra, once we have the basic needs met, we need that extra flair. So the pleasures that you would actually encourage and invite people to want to walk. And we do want to build a walking culture, because it's almost like a chicken and egg thing. If people wanted to walk more and more people are walking, the city would slowly be shaped, and the politicians might be, you know, thinking, okay, we should rebalance the roadway spaces as well. So more people wanted to do it, the city would slowly change or shaped by the need of the people, and the resources can be delegated to the more important things as well.
And that was Dr. Yi-Ting Chuang from the University of Auckland on her research into foot traffic in Auckland and Hamilton and what New Zealand should do to build a walking culture.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.